This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy or forward it if helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today. Thank you. Well, I just want to share a brief message with you, if I may, about the king, because we've been having this theme over the last few weeks about there is another king. There is another king. And his name is Jesus. Because we worship kings and queens today. All of us do, one way or another. Whether it's the king within or the megastar without. Whether it's the powers of this world or just simply a secular worldview. Because Jesus, as we know from these stories, came as a poor baby, as a humble man. And he didn't actually look like very much. But we know that he was the king of kings. And that he came to save us from sin and break the power of death. And because of that, he is worthy of our worship and our allegiance. Could you hold that for me, Kath? Thank you. If you're here with somebody who's a little younger and who is waiting for Santa Claus, you might want to just put your hand over their ears just for the next little bit. Because I wonder why we perpetuate the myth. Some people think that the story of Jesus is a myth. It isn't. It's a verified historical fact. It happened 2,000 years ago, and you can read about it all over the place and read accounts of it all over the place. But we have this other myth, don't we, that we perpetuate all about him, you know, the one that mustn't be named. We sort of expect quite a lot of Santa Claus. We sort of expect him to have the attributes of God. The mystery of the Christmas story is that Jesus set aside the attributes that we give to Father Christmas, Santa Claus. First of all, there's omniscience. Omniscience means knowing everything, okay? If you think about it, there are approximately 2 billion children in the world. But Santa probably doesn't go and visit the Muslims and the Hindus and the Jewish and the Buddhist children. So that leaves him about 400 million to choose from. So he needs to know where they all are. That's quite a big no. Let's say there's about 3 children per household. That's something like 100 million homes. He's got to know the postcodes and addresses. That's presuming there's at least one good child in each one, of course. That's omniscience, okay? About omnipresence, Santa has about 31 hours of Christmas to work with, if you allow for the time zones and the rotation of the earth, and assuming he travels east to west, which seems logical. So that works out at just under 1,000 visits per second. Okay, so for each Christian household with a good child, Santa has around 1/1000th of a second to park the sleigh, hop out, jump down the chimney, fill the stockings, distribute the remaining presents under the tree, eat whatever snacks have been left for him, get back up the chimney, jump into the sleigh, and get onto the next house. Assuming that each of these 100 million stops is evenly distributed, we're talking about 0.78 miles per household. It's a total trip of 75 million miles, not counting loo breaks. That means Santa's sleigh is moving at 650 miles per second. 3 times the speed of sound. That's called omnipresence. The other one is omnipotence. Okay, let's say that he's going to give each child a medium-sized Lego set. Okay, 2 pounds in weight. That means the sleigh... This is, by the way, assuming that reindeers can fly. That species hasn't been discovered yet, but it may be out there. But that sleigh is going to be carrying over 500,000 tons. Let's say flying reindeer can pull 10 times the amount of the reindeers that you and I know. That means he would need 360,000 of them. That's roughly 7 times the weight of the Queen Elizabeth. That's the ship, not the monarch. Now, if you think about it, 600,000 tons traveling at 650 miles per second creates an enormous amount of air resistance, you know, like the rockets coming back into the atmosphere. So unfortunately, what are the front two reindeer called? Donna and Blitzen. Okay, Donna and Blitzen would absorb 14.3 quintillion joules of energy per second each. In short, they burst into flames almost instantaneously, exposing the reindeer behind them and creating deafening sonic booms in their wake. I'm sorry about this, kids, but the entire reindeer team would be vaporized in 4.26 thousandths of a second, right about the time Santa reached the fifth house on his trip. However, since Santa, because he's accelerating from zero to 650 miles per second in 0.001 seconds, the centrifugal force would be 17,500 Gs. So let's say he's 250 pounds, which is a bit slim for a Santa. He would be pinned to the back of the sleigh by over 4 million pounds of force, instantly turning him into pulp. So we give Santa this omniscience, this omnipresence, this omnipotence, which are the attributes only God has. We conjure up these things in order to maintain our favorite myth. And the interesting thing is that Jesus sets aside those very attributes which he does have and becomes a man, subject to natural laws, and walks our dust and dirt. It's a fascinating upside-down concept. Colossians chapter 1 says this in the Bible. It says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. So when we see that baby Jesus, we see the God who is invisible and omniscient and omnipresent and omnipotent. It's awesome, isn't it? What a story. How incredible. And so it behoves us to approach Jesus with care and with awe and humility and worship. The wise men did this, and the story that Alice just read, I want to have a look at in a moment. But first of all, I'd like to introduce you to a friend of mine, Dennis. Come up and say hello to everybody. Dennis and I have known each other for a long time. He's been part of the Leeds Vineyard as long as there's been a Leeds Vineyard, almost. If not directly through your family, definitely. So, where are you from? Who are you? Tell the people.
The words lamb and slaughter come to mind. I'm from a unique clan called Geordies.
Yeah. There's three of them.
The home of Greggs. Yeah, so, and it's a long, long way from a place called Sunderland, which lost football again today.
Let's move on. Tell us about your family.
Have I got to tell the truth?
Yes.
All right. I've got a very submissive wife. Been married for a year or two, just over 50. Two daughters who keep me right as well. And six grandchildren who are quite unique, full of personality.
And you retired as a school teacher, deputy headmaster, was it?
Yes, in Newcastle for 31 years and then down here for about 10.
And tell us, where did you first meet Jesus? How did you hear about him?
Bit of a problem in a way, because I was brought up in a church I didn't like. And spent all teenage years rebelling. And then came to the age of 18, and I had a sense of coming to a fork in a road. And it was very clearly a decision time. I could see that one road went off in one direction, another road went off in another direction, and there didn't seem to be any kind of crossroads on the way down if you changed your mind. And I had the dilemma that I had a sense that God was saying, I want you to make a decision as to which road you're going to go down. But in some ways, it was a difficult one. Because if I'm perfectly honest, I didn't want to turn out like the products of the church that I saw, who told me what I couldn't do and gave me the impression they were just a little boring. And I had a lot of questions about Christianity, what it's all about. But I kind of made a bargain with God. I'll go this way, but you need to answer all the questions I've got on the way. And that's how it's been, really.
And through these sort of ups and downs of the last 10 years, since you're 18?
Well, I've had a very protected life, of course.
But what have you learnt about following Jesus through all that time?
I think that at the time, where you have good times and bad times. In the bad times, I would rant at God and talk to him. But then sometimes, when you stop and you look back on your life, you actually can see where God's led you and how God's influenced. And just like at 18, I made a decision to go one way, as I look back, I've made decisions to go this direction or that direction. And at the time, kind of trusted God, he would be there and it would be all right. But looking back, I can say, yeah, it's been good. It's worked out well.
And what's the Lord saying to you about this Christmas?
This Christmas, like many of you, it's going to be with family. And families contain all kinds of colourful characters. But I'm looking forward to Christmas because it's going to be a time of spending time with people. And I think that because I'm kind of comfortable with God and therefore, in a sense, comfortable with myself, I feel I've got something to give. And I'm looking forward to the time of sharing with people, because it's not about all the glitter, it's about relationships. And I think it's going to be a good time of those relationships.
Great. Thank you, Dennis. Okay. So, there's somebody who has decided, they've looked at the truth about Jesus and decided to follow him through the ups and through the downs. We read in the story, Alice read just before I started speaking, about how the wise men came from the east and came to look for Jesus. They'd seen the stars in the sky, and in those days, the astrologers in countries would be used to find out what was happening politically in other places. So if they see a conjunction of stars or the planets, they'd say, ah, there's a new king in that country, and they would be sent as emissaries to go and pay goodwill greetings. And they would have walked across the deserts to get to, well, they obviously went to Jerusalem because it's the capital city. You could have called that the first Star Trek. It was a nice story that we read about them trudging all the way across there. And they were sort of really, there's lots of memories associated with telling that story, but the political and the theological ramifications of it are dynamite. The wise men, as they go, they assume he's been born in Jerusalem because it's the capital city, that's where kings are normally, and they go to give their gifts, just like when the president-elect of the states was, the decision came out back in November. Lots of people started making phone calls to each other to wish him the best. And we sent Nigel Farage as our emissary, taking gifts. That's a joke, by the way. Okay. But these guys turned up. I think there were probably more than three of them. There was enough of them to make a bit of an impact in Jerusalem. And they were asking about this king. There's a new king. And the people in Jerusalem think, a new king? We got a king. He's called Herod. And we are waiting for the king, the Messiah, but not in my time. And they turned up the dust a bit in Jerusalem. And when King Herod, who was the local sort of puppet king, got wind of this, naturally he was a little upset. and he called a council, not to question whether they were right or not, but to find out where this king was being born. And the council, the theologians and the leaders came out. They said, it says in the Bible, it says in Micah chapter 5, it's going to be in Bethlehem. So he calls these wise men and he says, hey, just don't tell anybody. Just go down to Bethlehem, find out where he is, and I'll come and worship him too. And we all know that's a boo hiss. He's not really meaning to do that. So it all starts with this. God uses astrology and the movement of the stars to get this journey underway. But then in the scriptures, they find the truth of what's happening when they look at that passage in Micah. And the wise men turn up, and what do they say? Where is the king? We have come to worship him. We have come to worship him. And that's our theme, really. We have come to worship him. This person, this baby that has given up omniscience and omnipresence and omnipotence to be a baby is worthy of worship of the emissaries from a foreign land. And the wise men gave him their gifts and they worshipped, and then they got wise and they didn't go back to Herod. So, we have this baby in this extraordinary situation, and it brings out a certain response. In Dennis, it brought out a response this way or that way. In the wise men, it brought out the response that we've come to worship. What's your response? Like the sheep and the cows in the story, munching happily on their grass and sort of oblivious to what's going on? What's your response? Are you like the innkeeper, too busy with business to see what's right in front of you? Are you like the Jewish people waiting for the Messiah, waiting for something and actually not noticing as it's happening right around you? Do you feel threatened like Herod? If I worship Jesus, that might mean that he's in charge, not me, of my life. Or are you like the wise men, realizing something really important is happening here and coming to Jesus to bring him gifts fit for royalty, pledging your allegiance, paying him homage? Who are you most like? Who do you want to be like? That's the Christmas challenge every year. All these people had an opportunity to come and worship. And you have that invitation too. So I'd encourage you not to get too contented with food and drink, to neglect the source of life, and not to get too busy with busyness to miss what's happening around you, and not to be too cynical to let the truth just pass by. Instead, like the wise men who traveled and sacrificed so they could see the baby king, come and pay homage to him who may not look it, but he is all-powerful, and he is the king of all kings. It's not just a myth, it really happened, and a response is required from us. What can you bring to him? I'm going to give you the opportunity to respond, if you wish to, by thinking of a gift, something that you want to give him now, for 2017, say, as we think about this amazing gift of God to us, this small baby born into obscurity and poverty, sent to save us. What gift can we give to him? What gifts do we bring? Maybe it's your love or your worship or your talents or your skills or your time or your energy. What would you like to offer King Jesus tonight? We're going to be singing some worship songs in a moment, and carols and worship songs. And whilst we do that, Alison down this side and Terry down this side are going to give you each one of these, if you want one. These lovely little cardboard boxes is a bit blunt, really. It's very pretty. And inside it, what you can do is on the little green slip you'll get in the pens and paper, you can write what it is you'd like to give to King Jesus tonight for 2017. And you can put it inside and draw the things tight and tie them up. And then I'll give you a cue a bit later on, and you can come up to the front if you want to and just put them in as an act of worship, a symbolic act of worship around the bottom of this candle that's been lit all the way through our service. It's just a way to pledge allegiance to him, to do something which says, yes, I want to worship you. And when you come up at that point, there'll be some of our leaders will be just hanging, loitering around there and over there. If you'd like a blessing at that point, just go up to them and they'll just pray for you briefly. If there's something specific you want prayer for, just tell them and they'll be glad to pray for you. So I encourage you to take this opportunity, this special occasion, every year we do this, use these songs to press into him, to press forward, to be able to see into the crib. Don't stand on the edge. Bring your gift, whether it's the first time or the 100th time, and use this time to pay homage to one who is the King of Kings. Let me conclude. We worship kings and queens today. Everybody does, whether it's the king within or the megastar without, whether it's the powers of this world or simply a seductive worldview. But those who are humbly repentant and gratefully redeemed are discovering that there is another king, one who is not of this world, one whose kingdom will never end, one who alone is truly worthy of our worship, before whom every knee will bow and every tongue confess, the King of all kings, and his name is Jesus. So we choose another king, and we come to worship him, and we bring him our gifts.